Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Armchair Cricket Podcast.
Hello all. Welcome to another episode of Armchair Cricket Podcast, a podcast focusing on test cricket by armchair critics of the game. I'm your host, Ajit. In today's episode, we have a friend of the podcast, Manjunath, joining us. Hello, Manjunath. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Ajit. Nice to be back. It's a good day to be recording. It's the anniversary of the World Cup victory.
Absolutely. In 1983, not 2011, I suppose.
2011, yes.
Exactly. And 1983 would have happened later in the summer. So, okay. Yeah. Wonderful day. And well, it's also a good day to record if you're an RCB fan, or is it?
It's a good day to divert yourself from the game, what's going on.
So Fair enough. So I think we'll park it to the end of the episode. Maybe they would have already changed some of the ongoings, and then we may have a slightly better outlook. But all right. Coming back to what is going on here, I think we should first start off with the test matches. So there is one test match which is very near its close, let's say another session of play left. So this is the Sri Lanka's tour of Bangladesh, where surprisingly, Sri Lanka are very close to a 2-0 sweep of the test series. Surprising?
Yeah, quite surprising, the gulf in the two sides. So I expected that Bangladesh would do well at home. Recently, they beat New Zealand a couple mm-hmm. of seasons back. Mm-hmm. But after that, it has been all downhill for them for some reason. And probably the batting is just not coming together. And then there was that much famed Litton Das's log after in the middle of a collapse. So a few correct. Things are a little inexplicable for them. So really difficult. Whether they are undergoing transition, it remains to be seen. I think still their senior stars have some time left.
Well, look, for me, the Sri Lankan batting lineup is more experienced. But the Bangladeshi bowling lineup should hold its own, right? With Shakib back in the squad, there are three spinners who played at least 40 tests. But I dare say, maybe the Sri Lankan bowlers are better drilled. They are more, disciplined in their outlook and the way they're playing. But maybe the Sri Lankan players are not so much disciplined. Maybe that's the difference. But it's clearly the difference in the batting, right? When Sri Lanka bat first, they get to 531. They are 1-0 ahead in the series. They're not going to lose this test. In Asian conditions, that's a humongous total. You hardly see teams lose from that. I think England did once. But outside of that, very rare chances, right?
Yeah, if there is a country where you can lose from a big score in the first innings, it's India. So that's because India has the ability to, put back the pressure by doing those big batting second. Also, they make a good first inning score. So I think Bangladesh can take a leaf out of our batsmen, not to give up the home advantage.
Correct. At least you can play the game to a draw probably if you bat well for 2 days. But again, they lasted only 68 overs in the first innings. Again, 150 score, Zakir Hasan. And Mominul Haq batted a bit. I think he was a little unfortunate to get out. I saw his dismissal live. I was having a breakfast, and this is being broadcasted live on YouTube by, I think, a private broadcaster. So we were able to catch that. And Asita Fernando was the real, real difference, because he worked out Mominul Haq, Shakib Al Hasan, and, you know, Litton Das. Again, Litton Das again, four and out in the same over as Shakib Al Hasan got out. It was in one over. The first ball and the fifth ball, he got rid of Shakib and Litton. So Asita Fernando coming in. You see that Vishwa Fernando, Asita Fernando, Lahiru Kumara, between that, they hardly played 40 tests. So you cannot expect that, you know, they'll be this effective. Is it just the discipline they bring in, or is it something else?
Yeah, so definitely it's down to discipline. Both the sides, seamers, have had a good time. Mm-hmm. Like, you also had a pair of 102 score saving Sri Lanka. So yeah. Prior to that, they had a collapse. So even the Bangladeshi seamers, they also did well, but they couldn't capitalize on their good performance. So seamers have had a good outing, reasonably good outing in Bangladesh.
Absolutely. But then I think the spinners were a little flat, I thought. I mean, the Bangladeshi spinners, yes. Especially when it comes to Taijul Islam, I expected a bit more from him. Maybe the pitches are sort of slightly more friendly to faster bowling. But then you didn't see them bowl enough overs in the first place, I thought. But when you look at the first innings where Sri Lanka batted on and on, Mehdi Hasan Miraz has bowled 46 overs, Taijul Islam 32 and Shakib 37. That's not less number of overs, right? So that's easily 120 overs, more or less. And that's quite something. And when you look at that, you would expect Shakib to do a bit more, 115 overs. But it's not just Shakib. I think it's the way Sri Lankan players play spin. I mean, they're used to spin. They're growing up playing spin. So they've really neutralized left-arm spin, probably one of the best ways of you know, neutralizing Bangladesh's advantage also at home. But then when it comes to their batting, you can also say, you know, the captain failed entirely. Taijul Islam has better average than the captain, and that's quite something. Taijul Islam, the night watchman, he's made some contributions in this series, which is, you know, which would put quite a few top order batters to shame. I mean, you can also say, look, he's playing, he's a more experienced batter, and this is a transition in the Bangladesh batting lineup. No Mushfiq, right? Shakib only came back now, no Mahmudullah, no Tamim, but they have to also move on from here, and that's the only choice they have. Otherwise, the lesser you make that learning curve, the better it will be. Otherwise, you'll see many more such rather less than glorifying defeats. But to be blank 2-0, I think they'll take it hard, Bangladesh. Because if you look at the whole tour, right, Sri Lanka will walk away very very happy, because they took the T20A series and Bangladesh won the ODI series. But all in all, Sri Lanka will only have lost two matches in a long tour. And that's quite good, two international matches, right?
It has been very tough for touring teams, the Bangladeshi soil, like over the last few years. Like, even if you remember Shreyas Iyer's innings in Mirpur, or so he rescued, we had almost washed up a tricky chase.
Correct.
So that way, actually, Bangladesh have more to, you know, think about. And also, there has been criticism about their white ball cricket, where most of the players are playing more of white ball. And Mominul Haq has come and also given a statement that he feels there is a big gulf or gap between the level of domestic cricket and the test, like test level. But definitely, they need to rebuild from here. That is what. It's not a good thing to be blanked at home by Sri Lanka. And plus, the rivalry and the Nagin, and that is the other dimension.
Yeah, I mean, there is some rebuilding to be done purely from a batting perspective. But also, I think this, over the last few months or so, Bangladesh cricket has really not been where it should be. On the other hand, you can say Sri Lankan cricket has benefited incredibly from somebody like Chris Silverwood's maturity and presence. Should we say it like that?
Yeah, definitely. The one is the, like, if you look at both the spinners also, like, the unforced errors from Sri Lankan side are lesser. And
correct.
They are able to get the lengths consistently. So again, you can always say the Bangladeshi argument that, you know, they haven't played much of their domestic or four-day games.
Hmm.
But still, at this level, you expect a level of consistency. So that's why, like, you know, the every now and then the boundary ball is releasing the pressure. So that way, both Dhananjaya has been good in that respect. They have been able to bowl dry and get the wickets.
Absolutely. You can clearly see that, you know, this guy is making quite a difference. As a captain, probably that he's able to put that little bit of maturity as well into his work. We know how talented he is. There are no doubts about that. But can he also keep this going is a question, because he plays those incredible knocks, third innings, 160s, 180s, which can decide a test match and sometimes a series. So I'm looking if he can really become that, you know, that incredible player that he promised at the start of his career. So I'm also looking forward to one of the success stories as far as I'm concerned. The other, of course, is Comindo Mendis, who came in as a, you know, ambidextrous spinner, but he's actually a proper test match batter. So that's very interesting. Don't you think so?
Yeah, this will actually, it will increase the market value of Comindo Mendis also. Like, if there are people who are doubtful to take him for any franchise tournament, I think for his batting also, they can consider it. So, although like many purists will say that it's not the right thing, but then you have both the dimensions. If they are good, then any franchise can consider playing him. Or now with impact player, he can get a chance. So I'm not aware of how the ambidextrous bowling is working out. So far, I think it's only one hand for him. Like, he's only bowling the dominant hand.
Correct, the right
so hand. That we'll have to see what he does going forward.
I'm really hoping, you know, the franchise is leaving me for a couple of years and he can sort of build his cricket up to a point so where he becomes, you know, a match winner. Yeah. Sri Lanka. And then, of course, see, there are Sangakaras, Jayawardhanas, there are Jayasuryas, there are great players from that island, but there are many who have, you know, flattered to deceive, probably were sort of dazzled by the stars in their eyes, so to say.
Yeah, so mainly we are looking for someone like Upul Chandana and Dharmasena, you can say.
Together.
Handy with the bat, can hold one end and very good spinners. So I think we are somewhere close to finding that with Comindo, maybe. But this is all like nostalgia, hearsay. So let's see how it goes.
Yeah, so. No, I think he has the quality of a Hashan Tilakaratna with the bat. So much better batter, so, sort of lower order test match batter who can come in at five and still make a huge difference for his team. So he's probably all three put together, right? Dharmasena plus Chandana plus Hashan Tilakaratna. Yeah. That's quite amazing. That's quite amazing to talk like that. But let's see if he actually builds it up and delivers even as his career progresses. Yeah. From that one, there is not a lot of other men's cricket for the obvious reasons going on. But there is quite a lot of women's cricket for the same obvious reasons that are going on. So if you look at the women's cricket scene, we can see that Australia are touring Bangladesh. So Bangladesh are actually having two tours currently, one with the men's tour of Sri Lanka, but the other is the women's tour of Australia. So, well, Australia are actually nearly close to blanking Bangladesh entirely in the limited overs series. So surprises there for you?
Yeah, there were some interesting performances. Like today, there's a lady, Krishna, has taken four wickets actually. So, but though Bangladesh went on the losing side,
right?
So they are able to uncover some new talent. So I think in the future, it will be good for it.
Correct.
But obviously, Australia is like the team to beat in women's cricket. There is a clear gap between them and the other sides. You see.
Absolutely.
So how to bridge the gap, that is the thing. So I think even India, England, they come close every now and then, but they just falter in the crunch moments. So,
well, India did well to beat Australia in a test at home. But look, you're absolutely right. This is a next level of competitive team because they are finding some stars. Bangladeshi women's cricket, Nigar Sultana, the captain, made a 50. As you said, Krishna took a 4-4. Yeah. There are these occasional flashes in the pan, but there is a difference. It's almost like Australia are playing a club game. Right, they are international players playing against a club opposition. This is not meaning as a disrespect to the Bangladesh team, but the gap. So there is that gap that needs to be bridged, and probably it's showing us how big this gap is. But then, as you say, it bodes well for the future if you are Bangladeshi board, because the fight that they have shown in some of the ODIs, for example, are always very good. And that also means you may not beat Australia, but you may beat many other teams. West Indies, maybe even South Africa, you may beat India, you may actually give a real scare and so on. Even you may beat them, right? Pakistan. So that's the point. You have to take some maybe peripheral gains that you probably lost to Australia, but then it was not all lost because there were interesting players that were discovered. Now, if you go on to the other women's series, a slightly more competitive one, I must say, it is the England's tour of New Zealand. So in this case, England won the T20I series 4-1. The result was a bit surprising for me, and now they lead the ODI series 1-0. So from this perspective, if you're a New Zealand fan, you'd be disappointed?
Yeah, actually, there was a very funny pattern in the T20 games where they were asked to chase, and each time they fell short.
Correct.
And finally, when England chased, they managed to chase them. So one is they used the conditions well. But then, like for a home series, you would have expected New Zealand to pull back one or two more games.
Yes. So Dunedin and Nelson, the chasing teams lost. Wellington as well, the first team lost, chasing team. Right. From there, the last game in Wellington is where England managed to chase. It was a fairly comfortable chase, must be said. And now carrying on in Wellington, they're again chasing in the ODI and they win. So you're probably right when you say, you know, they are probably mastering the conditions now. And for a New Zealand team, I mean, it's a bit cliche, I must say. But is it such difference when playing in New Zealand? Is it not similar conditions, or am I reading too much into it?
Really, I haven't seen the pattern of their performances there. So it will be like difficult to say whether they are reading it well or not.
Oh no, I meant the conditions. Sort of okay. Speaking of conditions in general, where New Zealand have bouncy pitches, yes, probably the most seeming pitches, yes, in the world, even more than, yes, England. But then you have that, you know, 20 degree temperature, sort of seeming and swinging conditions, rather than, you know, something like Asia or something like Australia, which is dry and very, very bouncy, the pitches, for example. Right? That's the difference, I suppose. But nonetheless, you probably have a good point. Probably a bigger pattern has to be established. But I just thought it might be easier for England to get used to what's going on in New Zealand, having played a few more games. They're looking very comfortable. The third of these women's series is South Africa's, Sri Lanka's tour of South Africa. So again, there is a bridge of a little bit of, probably not in skills, but probably in conditions. How quickly can Sri Lankan women get used to South African conditions? First of all, as a cricket fan and as a women's cricket fan, I'm very happy that there are more of these tours going on, where suddenly we see a plethora of women's tours all over the place. This is fantastic. And you can only get better by going and playing, I suppose. The first couple of tours will not be very nice. So Sri Lanka are probably paying the initial, as you call it, the initial price that has to be paid, because in the T20Is, they happened to concede 198 once. And then, you know, they then sort of came back and surprised South Africa to win the second T20I. So, I mean, they have some international quality players, and South Africa can occasionally falter under pressure, which they are known to do. So do you see Sri Lanka may get away with one or two more surprises on this tour?
Yeah, definitely they can. Like tomorrow, there's a third T20I starting.
So there's a decider now.
See how they go. Yeah, that's the decider. So
I mean, they have Marizan Kapp, they have Annika Bosch, Tamsin Brits. Somehow, Nadine De Clercq, Chloe Trian are not coming through with the sort of performances we expect from them, right? With the experience they bring to the table. So the question is, are they able to now, you know, turn it on, sort of use the home conditions that much better? Or you have people like Kavisha Dilhari, Chamari Attapattu, all of these people. And Vishmi Gunaratna, who I think is very underrated as a top order player, right?
Yeah.
I think she may actually come out and, you know, make some good runs even in the rest of the series. So I'm, of course, everybody's looking at Chamari Attapattu because she's an all round threat. But then some of these other very good top order players, yeah, and good bowlers may sneak through and make sure they make the impact as far as South Africa are concerned, or maybe let's just say Sri Lanka are concerned. So I'm like really looking forward to the series, and may the best team win is all I can say. But as a fan, you're very happy to see this contest that's developing.
Yeah, actually, Attapattu came for UP Warriors, uh-huh, so I expected her to have a little better tournament. Mm. But unfortunately, like she didn't do as well as she would have expected. But the form was there; like she was in good touch.
Right.
So hopefully, she can, you know, continue. They come back to form, like if she considers that a dip, actually.
Correct.
But she was introduced in the later part of the tournament. Initially, she didn't get a couple of games.
So, yeah, indeed. But that was, I think, because she was brought in as a replacement, and you would hope, you know, that she would get more and more games.
Yeah,
eventually,
yeah, she was
did
not picked up at the auction.
Right. So eventually she did get some games, but she was not having the same impact. Only Deepthi Sharma, I think, from the team that she played for, right?
Yeah.
She was the player, right, of the tournament, but the others not so much. So yeah, you know, she's a very well-known quantity internationally, very well-proven. And we may hope that, you know, she's also going to maybe put in a few stunning performances, make it very tough for South Africa, who knows? And maybe even win a series or two for Sri Lanka. That's going to be fantastic. Sri Lanka can walk away. You know, Asian conditions, Asian teams often struggle to go to South Africa and win. And if Sri Lanka can walk away with even a limited over series win, it will be quite something, the Sri Lankan women's team. So we wish them all the best there. Another international cricket series that I noticed was Oman versus Namibia. It's a T20 series going on in Oman. This is Namibia touring Oman, sort of preparing for the T20 World Cup, right? So they're playing quite a lot of games among themselves to try to make that happen. So in this case, Namibia first won the first game, but Oman struck back, won the second. You know, from the bigger picture perspective, how do you see these two teams coming through in the World Cup in a couple of months' time?
Yes, so they definitely, they have some talented players and they can run the top teams close because there won't be much data. Okay, Namibia also, there must be some research previously, but if you go from the analytical point of view, there will be a lot of unknown commodity. So they may get found out later on. But if they're able to sustain the intensity, they can definitely beat one of the teams, maybe Sri Lanka or Bangladesh, or even India on a bad day. So these things, I think, India and all these teams be wary of, not to lose to these teams in the world.
Correct. And I mean, you're right. It's like a banana peel. No team will want to lose to them. It'll look very, very weird. And but that's okay. We are following this game because of its uncertainties and its ability to throw up those amazing results. Right, Dutch team was all right in the World Cup, 50 over World Cup. Afghanistan, today, these days, we shouldn't consider them as underdogs anyway. So from this perspective, let's see if Namibia and Oman, it's a very heartwarming story. Oman's team, and if they can do well, it's fantastic. And Namibia, given their resources, it's very interesting if they'll do well. Speaking of Namibia, off the air, you were actually telling me of one very interesting Namibia player. And how many games he's actually managed to clock, and how many tournaments he's actually managed to play in the last 2 years, let's say from 2022 onwards. So it is your friend David Visa, I suppose. Any thoughts on that?
So it's actually quite astounding, or you can even say it's really phenomenal. It makes like even me feel guilty because I am like 1 year younger than him.
Right.
And looking at his stamina, he's from the last November. To, he's continuously going to the different, like he takes part in ILT20, then he's back for for IPL, then after IPL he's gone to the 100 to play for Northern Superchargers, then he's going for another team, so then he's played the Blast for Yorkshire Vikings. So he's told in his podcast recently that he's the car is out of the garage. The garage is full of his kit, helmets, t-shirts.
Right.
So the thing is, he wants to continue this till as long as he's fit and he's able to.
Mm.
So only thing that everything has a starting point. So I think he has credited Sussex and of course Lahore. They showed interest in him when no one else was signing
Correct.
Him. So from there, it really took off for him. So hopefully he's able to add to his teams. And of course, he's going to turn out for Namibia also in the T20 World Cup.
Yeah, he's already done that. He's already also played for Namibia across two World Cups.
Yeah, right? He's played. And then upcoming World Cup, he'll be turning up for them. So I think wishing him good luck.
Indeed. Quite the story, right? So you can say this guy is really an inspiration if you are sort of in the middle part of your years. And him, between him, Misbah ul Haq, Yunus Khan, these are all the players. Even Dravid to an extent, right? 39, 38.
Yeah, even Dravid.
Right? So you can look forward to these people. They played professional sports. So people like me and you, maybe we can definitely play at least club games, right? So this is what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, at least we should try to get out and play something so that, taking this as an inspiration, because
absolutely
the level of commitment at 39 and having two kids who are 4 and 2 years old and traveling different continents, that's really phenomenal.
Correct. That also takes a bit of toll on the kids, no doubt, but I think they're too young to realize yet. So I think by the time they're grown up and they're realizing what's going on, he'll be back at home, probably just coaching some teams.
Yeah, he'll be there.
6 months of the year sitting at home or something. So that'll be nice. So let's hope it actually comes that way, because such a player with such a lot of experience, I'm sure will have a lot to give in terms of training teams, and he would have made a lot of friends along the way as well. So very inspirational story this. I mean, having been such a journeyman, do you think he misses out on IPL, or maybe he himself really not interested so much?
Yeah, so there is a point where what he says is that when there was Chandrakant Pandit in the KKR dressing room,
correct,
there was a time when they got him to play 3 games for the IPL,
correct,
but later they changed the strategy, so then he was no longer playing. So then what he did was he would wake up and he said, there are 3 weeks left in India, so I'll use this time like a audition for the next tournament.
Fantastic.
So he's already thinking about the next tournament where he's going. So obviously the facilities, the nets and everything, he was already like facing throwdowns or doing some particular drill, so that he will use it in the next, like maybe in the PSL, or PSL gets over early. So he was going to the T20 blast, so he was preparing for that.
Correct.
So I
Absolutely.
think even the players, the way they think, it's something really, really fascinating. So I don't know, it would be good to, there are these like Piyush Chawla or somebody, if we get them to, you know, go for a podcast or something, we may know their thoughts as to how they approach these things first,
Absolutely.
and in the middle.
Yeah, somebody
Yeah.
like him, somebody like Dimuth Karunaratne, who only play one
Yeah.
format for a team. It must be in Pujara for a while he did that. So it must be quite the challenge,
Yeah,
right?
Pujara for a while.
So, but nonetheless, I think you're a consummate professional if you're thinking along those lines, right? I'm getting 3 weeks of free nets, paid nets, so to say, where I can
Yeah.
hone on some skill or some hone a specific,
Correct. Yeah.
thing I'm looking at. So that's fantastic.
So mainly he stresses on, like, it does feel upsetting or whatever, like not being selected. But he said you have to be able to move on from it and just, you know, look for the next thing. So that is a lesson to be learned.
Also the equanimity, probably, that these things
Yeah.
happen, things change, and you are no longer
Correct.
required, you are surplus, but you have to use this time to maybe improve some skill set. Fantastic. So
Correct.
very inspirational. Thanks for bringing this topic. And now we have to talk about the elephant in the room, IPL,
Yeah.
and our team, air quotes, if I may call them that, I think I will. The Bengaluru team, their chase is getting very tough. Mahipal Lamroor is really making a difference all of a sudden, hitting a few big shots.
Correct.
They require 182. The required run rate is a mere 14.8. So 61 of 26.
That's quite steep.
But this sudden burst of runs from Mahipal Lamroor, do you think it's given Bangalore some sudden impetus?
Yeah, one is it is given impetus, but the other thing, it will be regret also. Like they could have played him, batted him higher, or used him better. So these ifs and buts, they'll keep on, you know, coming after each game.
No, but
So I don't know,
sometimes you should overthink it, I
some
think.
of the fans, yeah, some of the fans who post on online,
Ah.
I feel that analytically they are like far superior. They are thinking ahead of what the franchise is thinking. And here we are hitting the deck with Alzari Joseph, who is floating it around. And then today we got Topley. So like, so really I admire some of the fans who are really quite ahead, and they take their franchise cricket very seriously.
Right.
So whether the team acts on that, whether it's actionable intelligence, I don't know. But definitely the social media pages, whoever is controlling them, they should have a look at it. So definitely they may find some tips to perform better. Because if nothing is coming from the coaching side, like backroom boys, then at least you can use the fan inputs.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yes, for RCB. Yeah.
Look, you have a very relevant point, but I'm wondering, it's always easy if you're an armchair critic. You're not aware of all the
Yeah.
things that are going on, and it's quite challenging because of what is available. I mean, when you have too much of the same good stuff, also it's a problem. When you don't have enough of a good stuff, also it's a problem. But these are professionals who are in the backroom staff who probably, sort of thought about cricket also professionally. That doesn't mean the fans are wrong. This is the first thing, right? But also maybe the fans, if you are purely an IPL fan, you yourself get to only participate in one tournament of the year. So you yourself are fresh, right? Your
Correct.
analytical mind is very fresh. So maybe you yourself are able to make good strategies. And with all these coaches sort of spreading themselves thin across the different leagues and whatnot, maybe one franchise should seriously consider running with some inputs from, I won't say social media, but a set of, by a
Yeah.
committee of social media
Yeah, experts at least.
experts, right? But that's very tough to say, because franchise owners, they
Yeah.
like
So
accountability.
yeah, experts as in we can actually get some, you know, ex-Mumbai cricketers. Like if you see the recent Ranji Trophy, the Mumbai Cricket Association has matched the prize money from the BCCI. So
Aha.
that itself says that the financial health of the association is good, and obviously they have some good minds who can, you know, probably they would be able to manage these leadership transitions better. That's what I feel. Because
Correct.
I feel sorry for both parties equally. And in the end, the fans will lose out. All the diehard fans were there. So
Correct.
that's what it's a little dilemma between the, like when you have two big individuals involved. But yeah, so I wanted to know your take. Like what would you think about this? Because every day you open, whenever you log into any social media, the top three, four things are related to this one. At least if you're opening in India, if you're using VPN, I don't know what you see in your feed. But
Okay.
yeah.
No, but you have a relevant point. I do think there is room for an armchair critic's perspective, but somehow I think the people who are making the decisions are seeing more than those of us who are outside the fence sort of are able to perceive, right? We don't ever attend practice sessions. We don't actually know what are the status of mental states of players, physical states. Maybe somebody's having an injury or not. And Alzari Joseph, let's not forget, was actually a match winner. He took a 6-4 in an IPL not very long ago. I mean, he's not grown into something yet, but again, that's the thing, right? You hope when you make an investment like that, you hope this is the guy who's going to become the next champion bowler. Somehow RCB has the ability to kill bowlers off. So this is something we are looking at for seasons. Not kill them, but sort of discourage them and sort of encourage them to go elsewhere outside of the IPL. We'll see if Mitchell Starc, who's come back for KKR, will do good things for them. But outside of the jokes that I make, look, it's not a tough, it's not a good place if you're a bowler. The Chinnaswamy, your home ground, right? But from purely selection perspective, I think, yeah, there is some lot of discontent growing from the RCB fans' perspective. This is very black and white. I see it all the time on social media. But I'm not sure if it's like a very tough thing, right? So the RCB women's team, how they went from being, last but one in the league to winning the league, the women's team in 2 seasons. There, they backed their captain completely, is what I heard. And if she wanted to bring a support staff from somewhere, she was encouraged to do that. And she hired somebody on a consultation basis, an Australian. She says that in an interview, Mandana. So sometimes maybe somebody looking outward in who doesn't know all the details but is only looking at the bigger picture may be able to help. So in this case, if that means it's a fan committee, it might be that, but it might also be a different thought process. But yeah, this is a discussion I think we RCB fans have had for the last 4 or 5 years because we see them make the same mistake over and over, right, RCB? So it sort of baffles us. How do you end up making the same mistake every time you barely qualify for the knockouts and then there's nothing more, there's no more energy left, and we bow out. It's a real conundrum. But if you look at their health and how they're doing, they're doing okay. If they can get close in this game or even win this game against LSG, by the way. So by the way, they need now, even as we talk. He hit another six just now, Lamroor. 22 of 52 is not an unachievable target in these days. Don't you think so? So
Yeah, and it's Dinesh Karthik's last season also. Suppose rumored to be, I don't think
No,
he
he
will
has
come back.
actually said it's going to be his last season, right? So
Yeah, so then that at least for Dinesh Karthik, they should do well and reach at least reach the playoffs final. So final is asking for too much as a
but let's see.
student fan, but
Who knows? He
yeah.
wins what was that cup? That cup in Sri Lanka where he hits some 28 or 7 to win the game,
Yeah,
right?
Nidhas
Niraj
Trophy.
Trophy. Maybe he can do
Yeah,
that from purely
exactly.
RCB perspective and win the game for them. Who knows?
And that too after Vijay Shankar took Mustafizur for next to no runs and
19th
like
over.
one edged four. And after so much stress, he still managed to get it.
Right.
So,
Well, today Lamroor is doing a very similar job. He's 32 of 10. And by just saying this, even while we're recording, may it be put in place for posterity that he's supposed to get out very shortly. Let's see if that happens. But for now, well, he's giving us RCB fans some hope. And before I go away entirely from this match and this topic, what have you made of the LSG quicks? So there are two very promising quicks in Yash Thakur and, of course, the most important guy, Mayank Yadav, who's taken, by the way, 14 for 3 in this game. Huh? What are your thoughts on that?
So Mayank Yadav, he has bowled the fastest delivery of the IPL again tonight.
Correct.
Like the first ball of his second over was 157 kilometers.
Holy cow.
So I think so. Basically, he needs someone to look at the biomechanics, keep him fit, and I won't be surprised if they take him along to the T20 World Cup. So I think if good sense prevails, they can take him. So he can be a surprise factor over there. With the kind of wickets we expect, his style of bowling will suit. And of course, modern T20 requires a hit the deck kind of a bowler. And he's able to bowl the hard length and hurry the batsman.
Right.
So all these things can be an asset. Like if his form sustains, his fitness is good, then it's fine. Even pace is not that, like for me as a fan, pace, okay, 155 and 145, just the thrill of the fans.
Right.
But if he's able to consistently bowl in the high 140s, I'll be quite happy. And of course, Vijay Lokapalli sir has tweeted about him like a year ago about to watch out for this guy. So definitely praise from very high quarters very early.
Correct.
So just hopefully that the things fall in place for him.
Absolutely. Now he's good. And I mean, he has shown enough early promise, but look, you have to also deliver at the highest stage and keep reminding people of who you are. Somebody like Umran Malik, after sort of a really, you know, breakthrough season, sort of the last 2 years, even I think played for India in a T20. But since then, he has not gone not much further, let me put it like that, right? So how does that work is the question. Then it's a very tough thing. And he has a development contract, a fast bowlers contract with the BCCI. And that means he gets to use all the facilities and keep fit and sort of, you know, also take care of his body with the BCCI's help. That's fantastic. So he's always going to be ready. By the way, I think I seem to have jinxed successfully, which I do. And
one
wicket has fallen in the meantime. Yeah. So I'll own that. It's purely me, nobody else. Not even Dinesh Karthik, who's got out. It's not even his fault. But apart from all the jokes, let's go back to some serious talk here. From all the teams that you've seen so far, right? Mumbai are struggling, 3 losses in a row. RCB look like they'll have, again, 3 losses and 1 win in their first 4 games, based on how things are going. Outside of that, most teams are sort of set up okay. But with today, if Lucknow Super Giants win, they'll leapfrog into the top three. It's pretty early yet. Your thoughts, though, on this?
Yeah, I feel that this year, Punjab and Rajasthan, they have the chance to, you know, make a breakthrough season. But for that, they need to go on the roll and win 2-3 games. So that is the thing. Like even Punjab have the opportunity in the stadium in Mulanpur, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. The stadium without a roof, but then they seem to have mastered the conditions over there.
Right.
So if they are able to get these home wins, then they may able to be able to edge out the teams from the playoff, or maybe it will become a very crowded table for the run rate. So even RR on a good note, so there can be like a lot of crowd between GT, RR, and Punjab if they come up
exactly
for the qualification. But if Lucknow takes off, then mostly we will again go to the same like similar top four, and again RCB, SRH fighting for run rate. So that is what's going to. Usually, that's the case.
I just think SRH are a different beast this time, isn't it? Simply because...
Yeah, exactly. The combination hitting itself is like... Yeah, once it comes off, then like you have those high-scoring games. So, and I think conditions like Belter, like Hyderabad, if they bat first...
Right.
I think they'll be able to pretty much, you know, beat any team.
Not only that, right? So, they also have some firepower in their bowling. So, in the recent couple of games, you saw they were able to hold back somebody like Mumbai. It was a sheer six-hitting contest. And, right, GT
like
batsmen.
You're scoring 246 runs and you're on the losing side. So
correct.
Nothing can be worse than, what a worse feeling to, you know, go back to the hotel and, you know, realize that you're lost. So, that is the nature of the game, but it's such a high-scoring game.
Absolutely.
And, just there were 2 or 3 overs in the middle where just Cummins and they just turned it around. And it's just that I think maybe Navan Dheer and his partner, I'm not able to recall, they took a little extra time to settle down.
Right.
But their strike rates were about 200. So due respect to them, I'm not telling they batted slowly. It's just that when Klaassen was going, Klaassen and Abhishek Sharma, that was at a different speed tempo altogether. We
Correct.
Maybe they were not able to get that. So eventually there, it's just like 3-4 good overs here and there and that cost Mumbai. But otherwise, they were quite good. Even Rohit hit like took the initiative at the start. And each and every batsman was like, from the word go, they were hitting. But Kishan played well. So, some positives are there for Mumbai, definitely. At least in the on-field activities, for sure, Mumbai can, you know, get together and do really well.
Right. We'll have to see if, you know, Mumbai are able to get their act together. They've done it twice, I think, where they've lost 3 games of the first 3 games of the season and bounced back to take the trophy. It remains to be seen. Right. Under the new captain, I think we cannot avoid this anymore. What do you make of this reaction of the Mumbai crowd to Hardik?
Yeah, it is bound to happen. So there are many theories floating. So one is that our cricket fandom is going towards the English Premier League kind of fandom. So, when you have trades and transfers happening, the home side may show their anger towards the home player.
Right.
So, that reaction can be expected. But only thing, it's a challenge as to how the player handles it. So hopefully Hardik is doing some good meditation to keep his mind off these things, and
Right.
he can definitely bring it to his game. Maybe just one or two good games, breakthrough games for him, or Hardik helping to win the game, that can get the crowd back on his side, and that can just be like no looking back from there. So
Correct.
just they have to wait for that. In the middle, some tactical blunders like they should avoid. Maybe Hardik didn't bowl himself at all in the previous game. So
Right.
those things, maybe I think he should back his instinct, and he should, if he feels that he should be in the attack, he should go. So I don't think these kind of things, he should allow the outside noise to affect his decision making.
Right.
So, or like there was even where Tim David was held back and Piyush Chawla was sent ahead of Tim David. So like, I think if I were Tim David, I would have a big meltdown with the coach. Like, but then, but I know that is all, you know, it feels good to talk about it. So, sounds funny, but it's not like that. But really, I don't think Tim David needs to be shielded in the T20 side. Like, okay, if he gets out, he gets out. That's the way high risk cricket is there. So.
No, you are right, but look, from the bigger picture perspective, right? I think Mumbai have a few things to rearrange in their side. It doesn't look like the same Mumbai unit that is sort of gearing towards a becoming an all-conquering unit much later in the tournament. They have many, very many things. The order of batting order, middle order is one of the things you mentioned indeed, right? And they indeed have to work out a few things also with their bowling, I think. So Piyush Chawla is doing all right, but that's still a big hole there, the spinners. We'll see how long he's staying in the team and how long he's continuing to work. So a few things to look at there. Coming to GT, Gujarat Titans, probably the most promising team so far. Do you think they'll be able to maintain the run again? They were very promising in the first two seasons. Their first two seasons, they won, and then they were runners up. And this season, do you think they'll continue with the new captain? The same mindset, do you think?
Yeah, so they have Ashish Nehra in the back row for them.
Neeraji, yeah.
So I think so they are come with the same spirit. They are also, you know, they have Omar Zai added to the squad. So you can say like skill wise, he is a direct replacement for Hardik. Only by skills.
Temperament wise is the
Yeah,
question.
so temperament wise also. So definitely with their leadership now, it's maybe it's up to how Shubman captains on the field. Basically, he has the system in place. And so it is like they can make Ahmedabad their fortress, so then they can ensure themselves a good shot at qualification. So
Correct.
if they win often at Ahmedabad and get a couple of away games, they can reach that safe figure of 14. Like I doubt how many will reach 16 this time. Maybe it's a more closer tournament, so
Correct.
maybe more teams will be targeting 14.
12 probably we'll have a lot of teams on 12 as always, not 10, but 12.
Yeah, 12. Yeah, 12 is for our calculator gang, RCB fans. So that is true. We'll be there with the calculators.
Perfect, perfect. I
So
couldn't have put it better
yeah,
myself. Okay, we'll
exactly.
see how
So
these things shape up. So from IPL towards the rest of the world's news, there are some very interesting news from India's neighbors. They seem to have reappointed Babar as the limited overs captain and sacking Afridi after only one tournament. What's going on there? Do you know anything more on this?
yeah, so like Daniel Russell had written an article recently published this evening in Cricinfo. So basically, he alludes to the nature of the country's politics itself. Like when the power changes hands, it takes the cricket board along with it. So
Fine.
like if you see, like there are four board presidents in the last 2 years. So
Right.
like when the board president itself changes, then again the balance tilts and they come out with a plan that, okay, let's go back to this plan A, or let us unroll a different leadership. So like that. So other problem is there was a statement published which was with things attributed to Shaheen, which he hadn't said. So now that is like really sad. I guess that's the worst thing you
We
can
hear he's really disappointed behind
exactly.
the scenes.
And so and then there's a, of course, there was an engineered handshake also
I saw
where
that. I mean, you
yeah.
shared that article with me off air.
Yeah.
That uncomfortableness was clearly visible.
Yeah, the yeah, discomfort was visible, definitely.
Yes.
So really, I think now it's just up to like it's like Pakistan's version of Rohit and Hardik now has happened. So how these two face it in real life on the field, and how do they manage? So that is how, because they have organized some military, in a military camp, they had organized some skill training for them to hit bigger sixes.
Right.
So the current board chief had to shuttle there and sort this matter out between them. So Shaheen also has held his own, saying obviously he shouldn't be responsible for what he hasn't said. So
Correct. I mean,
like, you release a statement, yeah, so that's wrong.
if you made a
Yeah.
conclusion based on that, then that would be very damaging to the player, right? If he never said it.
Exactly.
So
Yeah, he never said.
that's terrible. But okay, let's see if they're now able to stabilize. You're right that the regime changes brings a lot of changes also in the management. But I've never seen captains changing.
Yeah, like if you remember when Parvez Musharraf was there, we had created a post called Patron in Chief for Pakistan
Correct,
cricket,
correct. He is the patron in
and
chief, the prime minister.
general was, yeah, he's a Patron in Chief.
Okay.
So now I don't know who it
That's
is
always
and
the prime
what is
minister
the
of the
post
country.
there. Yeah, as a Prime Minister, yes.
Correct.
And the irony, the biggest irony is, like, this week actually Shahryar Khan sir passed away,
Yeah.
one of the very good administrators in Pakistan cricket.
Correct.
So definitely they won't allow soul to rest in peace the way they are managing it. So at least we hope, we give our condolences to him, of course.
Well spotted,
We hope that he's
indeed.
doing well.
Our
Yes.
condolences to him and his family. Well, not him, but his family and friends. But in
Yes.
any case, yeah, this is an ongoing saga which we'll keep an eye on. I'm really worried only that, his performance does not drop off because, he's also a
Correct.
match winner. He's going through those, mid-season or mid-career blips, and let's just hope he passes on onto the other side and is continuing to win games as far as his team is concerned.
And he's one of the most exciting left-arm spinners to watch on television. Seamers, sorry.
Seabers, right? So,
Left-arm seamers, yeah.
correct.
Yeah. So definitely, we always want him to be at his peak. Right? I don't want that Matthew Wade boundary to be the centerpiece of his
Right.
legacy.
Right.
So that's what I feel he should have, is swing it like Vasim Bakar, and we have some memories for the next generation to take up fast bowling. So that's how we should.
Right. I mean, let's just hope, right? He's continuing to do that. And he can become the next Wasim, if not in numbers, but at least in impact. Let's hope. All right. Now, the only other topic is an interesting one. So basically, Ben Stokes sort of pulling out of the T20 World Cup. Does this simplify the equation if you are England, or does it muddle it up more because he was always in your plans?
Yeah, it might simplify, as they may go with younger options. And another thing is, like, currently, like, he had only played two T20 matches from his victorious campaign as in the T20 World Cup, the previous one. So
Correct.
definitely there is a chance for the management to think of some fresh options. And the other issue was this could have been like this might have been coming, because when he was playing the India scenes, one of my colleagues in the place, he saw him on TV, and he's like, how is this guy running, and how is he? Because he's only 6 weeks after some knee surgery.
Yeah. Okay, some
So he was
professional.
saying that it takes,
Okay.
yeah, so professional. So he says that it takes a long to recover. So another thing is the possibility of whether there has been some damage done or another injury, maybe, or it's not 100%. So maybe the knee is still not ready to take the rigors of T20, the intensity. So that could be one more reason for the decision. It may not be entirely cricketing reason or
Correct.
him wanting to opt out.
Maybe he'll mean to extend his cricketing career, a test match cricketing career, a
Yes.
little bit longer. He's had a fallow couple of series. We know what he is and what he's capable of. So let's just see if this will sort of positively impact the England setup. Most importantly, the player himself, where he's going to give you a few more years of good test captaincy for that team, the bass ball way and so on. Let's see, all these things to consider. Thank you for your thoughts as always. Wonderful to discuss cricket and other things
Yeah, my
with you,
pleasure.
Doc. And where can our fans look out to your contributions, social media elsewhere?
Yeah, in Twitter, there is it's at the rate of the following speed. You can follow over there. And also, we have a page called Toss for a Gone. So that is also there.
And how is your Cricket Chatter
And
Live coming?
yeah, Cricket Chatter Live actually is slightly, it has become irregular now because with the start of the IPL.
Right.
We did a very insane number of previews, and everyone was very exhausted. So I think you can go to the, you can leave the, I'll leave the link to the channel below the tweet. At that time, you can go and check it out. So as of now, we're not doing much right now. We'll hope to again at some point have a few discussions.
Clear. Let's just hope, you know, you are able to also continue. I saw there were more than 1,000 live followers, and that's quite something. May that channel and may your you know, cricket analysis career go from strength to strength from there. Thanks a lot to all our listeners, wherever you may be listening from, and we absolutely appreciate the company that you've brought, and we hope to have you again and again in the coming episodes. Thank you, Manju.
Yeah, thank you, and also must compliment Armchair Podcast, because I am a very regular listener of your podcast. So one thing I like is the consistency in covering all the news. Like, there is equal weightage to every piece of news. So I think all the listeners also should come to us for this reason.
Ah, wonderful. And I hope the listeners who are you know, hearing to you actually mention this will go on and tell it to their friends, and we grow. And we'll see. Thank you very much, and have a good day. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
This is the Armchair Cricket Podcast.
Podcast Network.